Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath services. This is Overcoming the Sin Within, number 4. Let's review just a little bit. Human nature is a mixture of good and evil. And we have within us what is called in Romans 7, the law of sin and death. And this has been transmitted genetically to all people. Let's come to Romans 5. Let's see how Paul wrote of this to explain what happened. And it's very interesting because a lot of preachers like to read that Eve was the one who caused the sin. Well, it says Eve transgressed because she was deceived. Okay. Romans, the 5th chapter, okay? Adam was not deceived. And also, when she picked the fruit, he should have told her, don't do it. But he didn't do it. So it makes you wonder, was he sitting there thinking, well, if she picks this and nothing happens to her, because see, what God told him was that if you, and of course, eat the fruit, you shall surely die. But they must have had subsequent instruction, because Eve also told the serpent that we should not touch it lest we die. So it makes you wonder, was Adam sitting there? She's got it in her hand. She's okay. Well, she ate it. Because it says she gave it to her husband with her. So he was right there. Okay. Well, she's okay. She says, here, try it. You'll like it. See? So he tried it. Now, at that point, the whole nature of human beings with the judgment of God was changed. Because when they were created, they were created not subject to death yet, and they're created not having the law of sin within them. So after they ate it, their eyes were open to sin, but closed to righteousness. And just like everything else, when God knew where they were, one man said, because he an atheist said, well, the scriptures are kind of stupid, because if God knows everything, why did he come into the garden? And if he knew that Adam and Eve had sinned, why did he say, Adam, where are you? Well, of course he knew where he was, but he wanted to find out what Adam was going to do. So the first thing Adam did, after God said, well, have you eaten of the fruit that I told you not to eat of? He said, Lord, it's the wife you gave me. You gave me. See, it's your fault, God. See, rather than understanding the choice, and he made the choice. Okay? And so then God looked at Eve and said, did you do it? She said, the serpent. See, you have to always blame someone else, see? So they had the judgment. First against Satan the devil, then against Eve, then against Adam, and he said, in dying you shall surely die. They were expelled from the Garden of Eden, and at the point of the judgment, their nature was changed. Was the nature of the environment changed? Yes, God says it'll bring forth weeds and thorns and thistles, and you're going to have to work for it. We find in Ezekiel 23 that when there is great sin in the land, it affects the environment. Little sidebar. Is that the global warming problem? Human sin? Probably. Now, let's come to Romans 5. Let's see what Paul wrote here in verse 12. This also explains to us something very, very important. that no human being can ever be perfect in the flesh according to the standard of perfection that God demands. And no human being has the ability to get rid of the sin within. Now, they can discipline themselves so they sin a little less, but they can't convert and change the mind. And no human being has yet overcome death except Christ. So verse 12. Therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and by the means of sin came death, in this way death passed into, the Greek there is eis, E-I-S, into, preposition showing motion, into, all mankind, and it is for this reason that all have sinned. They have, when you have a nature of death, there is no way you can do things that are perfect. The only way you can come to that is if you answer the call to God and repent. Now, we also know that people can make themselves less evil by following the laws of God in the letter. And there are a lot of people who do it in the world. And they are good, decent people in the world. You also have those who are criminals and given to sin and give themselves over to every thought to rebel, to steal, to lie, to take, all of those things then makes human nature even worse. Now let's come back here to Jeremiah 17. Let's see how Jeremiah explained it, or how God explained it to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17, all right? Now, a lot of people don't like to admit what we're going to read here. Show me the best person, best behaved person on earth. All right? Are they going to beat the sentence of death? No. Maybe they've done a lot of exemplary things compared to what other human beings do. And God will honor that in the letter of the law. Now here, Jeremiah 17, verse 1. The sin of Judah is engraven with a pen of iron, deliberately going against God. Just like we see today how the government is doing with abortion, same-sex marriage, entitlement benefits, overtaxing, same way we see crime and corruption in the world, crime gangs, drug cartels, lying bankers, and all the banks in the world are owned by 8 families. And with the point of a diamond, it is carved upon the tablet of their heart. They've given themselves over completely to evil. Now, for those of us who are trying to do good, and for those of us who've grown up and we haven't committed a great deal of sins, this becomes somewhat difficult to comprehend, that there are people dedicated to evil. So let's see how God looks at it here. And upon the horns of your altars, brought sin into their religion. Did they not? What was that sin? All their traditions. Now let's stop and think for just a minute. Is God perfect? Yes. Is his law perfect? Yes. Are his commandments perfect and just and right and good? Yes. Did he create them for our own good, for our benefit? Yes. Okay? Now, when you come along and you add something to it, now, for example, I just received some material here this past week on the Catholic Eucharist. And I never knew, this is the first time I ever knew, that when they bring out the wine and bless the wine, the deacon takes some water and pours into the wine. Now why? Jesus didn't say so. Jesus told them, you go into the whole world and you teach everyone what I have commanded you. Now you read the Passover account. Nowhere is there any account where Jesus asked for a pitcher of water to pour into the wine. But someone came up with the brilliant idea that was so righteous that if we're going to partake of the blood of Christ, it says that when the soldier ran the spear in his side, out came what? Water and blood. So I have an idea. Let's put water in the wine. Okay? Then you can add on all the other traditions that they have. See? This is why it's necessary to know the Bible. Because a lot of traditions sound really, really good. But even if they sound really, really, really good, if you add it to what God has given, and what God has given is perfect, you are declaring to God that what he did was not perfect. So there are many different things concerning it. Okay? Now let's come down here to verse 5. Verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man, and makes flesh his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. Now God looks at it over a lifetime. Someone can sin and nothing happens because God is giving a time to recognize what you have done, come to yourself, change your mind, stop doing it. For example, for the 10 tribes of Israel, in spite of all their sins, God gave them 232 years before they were sent off into captivity. Now, reflect on how long we've been a nation. 239? Think about what's going on. Okay? Verse 6. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes. But he shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land that is not inhabited. Now, what you also may do with this verse, look at where different people live in the world. And realize that God put them all in their places where they are. So this also can tell you a great deal about the practices of the people. I know Dolores was watching the history of mankind the other night concerning the Incas in Peru. And some of the things they did were absolutely mind-boggling. You know, and when you read the accounts, how ruthless were the Spanish in killing them. Well, that was God's judgment because of what they were doing. See? Down through the history of time, you have nations that rise because they're doing good and God determines to raise them up. Then they do evil and they are brought down. And then another nation comes along and conquers them. And then they rise to the point of what? Corruption and sin. So they come down. See? So you can see that in the history of the world. Now think of what's happening here in America and Western civilization. We've had the blessings beyond any description of any civilization ever in the world. And what have we done? We've corrupted ourselves almost beyond repair. Let's go on. Notice the difference, verse 7. So here we are in the middle of this. Okay? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. See? Now these are living laws. I wonder what the people are going to do. I read an article where there was a one of these soul concerts, and they dedicated to Barack Hussein Obama, our Lord and Savior. Wonder what's going to happen. What does verse 5 tell us? Is that going to result in blessings? Okay, let's go on. Here's the difference. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters. It sends out its roots by the river, and shall not fear when the heat comes, but its foliage shall be green, and he is not worried in the year of drought, nor will it cease from yielding fruit. Now, we got these two contrasts here. Now, notice verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Isn't it interesting? And I'm sure you've observed it, that little children lie from the get-go. Johnny, did you do this? No. My sister did. Okay? From a very young age. And you know, and I know, and everybody knows, every single one of us did things that we knew absolutely were contrary to what our parents told us to do or wanted us to do. And many of those things they never knew about. But some of them, when they found out about it, got you in real deep trouble, right? Yes. Why? Because, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God alone knows it. The only way to truly understand human nature is with the Word of God and with the Spirit of God. See, because with this sin within, we're going to see only the Spirit of God can change human nature. Now, when people do good, they can modify their behavior. But does that get rid of jealousy? Does that get rid of lust? Does that get rid of envy? Does that get rid of murder? Does that get rid of thievery? Okay? No. So here's what we need to understand, verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins to give each one according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Now, let's look at some of the other things that are contradictory to men and self-deceiving. Let's come to Proverbs 16. Now, while you're turning there, we know the Proverbs 14:12. You don't have to turn there. You know what 14:12 says? There is a way that seems right to a man, that means man or woman, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Now look at this. Proverbs 16 and verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Now remember, the law of sin and death is active here. The law of self-deception is active here. See? But the Lord weighs the spirits. Now, let's read a couple of other verses and we'll get a preview of how our behavior can change. Verse 3. Commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. Now, this is what needs to happen. How do you establish your thoughts, and how do you overcome those thoughts within where sin begins? Because that's the whole point of conversion. You can have a disciplinary religion where you can make yourself a better person. You can be taught and practiced to be kind and nice to people. But does that give you love from within to actually be nice to people? Maybe not. Okay? The Lord has made all for his own purpose, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though joined hand in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Mercy is forgiveness. Okay? Truth is the word of God. We're going to see that what has to happen is that you must retrain your mind And it's a perpetual thing in life, even from the time after you have been baptized, because the Holy Spirit is working within, so it exposes the sin within. Have you ever gone along and wonder, well, how did that thought come into my mind? Well, it came in there because it's in your mind. Well, why did it come up? Oh, because the Holy Spirit of God is truth, and it's letting you know it is there so you can repent. That's how. You know, let's look at another example. How many times has there been this lovely little old woman? Now, generally, it's women who do this. Men lop off heads, you know, stab through the guts, you know, shoot 100 times in the head. Women do it a little differently. They poison through food, cookies. What do we have to eat back there, gals? No. Okay. No. But when it's finally found out that this woman murdered her husband by poisoning him, and that she tries to get the kind of poison which will not be discovered very quickly, see? They look at this lovely little woman and say, why, we are shocked. How could she do this? She was always so nice and sweet and good. Yes, but the mind within, see, deceitful and desperately wicked. Okay? So that's how we're going to see you get rid of the sin within. And by fear of the Lord, men turn away from evil. Now we got to read verse 7 to balance it. When a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Wonder why we have so many enemies as a nation. I got a report, I don't have it with me, but it was put out, is 2013 the year of judgment for America, for abortion? 52 million innocent lives. And oh, how indignant we were with Adolf Hitler. Yes, indeed. All right. Let's see what human nature naturally is with this kind of nature. Let's come to the Epistle of James. Now, that's right after the book of Acts. And that's right after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay? Epistle of James. Epistle of James. Here we go. Let's see what human nature is like. And I think it's interesting that God even told Israel through the prophet Elijah, when they had the confrontation with the prophets of Baal, he said, how long? And the Hebrew means jump back and forth between two opinions. If Baal is God, serve him. If the Lord is God, serve him. All right? So here, what is this that most people are? They want to sin, but they want the blessings of God. They want God to recognize what they do as good, but they don't recognize what God does as good. And then they wonder why things don't go the way they want. All right? Okay. Let's pick it up here in verse 5. James, the first chapter. James 1, verse 5. However, if anyone lacks wisdom, and we all do, let him ask of God, who gives to everyone freely and does not reproach the one who asks, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith. Now, faith requires quite a bit. That requires you got to prove that God exists. You've got to prove that his word is true. You have to be walking in his word by faith. Okay? Not doubting at all, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven by the wind and tossed to and fro. Do not let that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, when they're really double-minded, they can't make up their mind concerning anything. See? Double-minded. That's what human nature is. Human nature in extreme is like a schizophrenic. And, of course, that's one thing we covered on demonism that has to be overcome. All right? He says it again. He says it again here in James, the fourth chapter. Okay? James 4. Now, we'll bring this in here concerning the lust, too. Because lust have a lot to do with it. Okay? So let's begin right here in verse 1. What is the cause of quarrels and fighting among you? Now, just apply this to a family. Apply this to a marriage. Apply this to government. Apply this to various groups of people. Okay? Is it not mainly from your own lust that are warring within your members? You lust and have not. You kill and are jealous and are not able to obtain. You fight and quarrel, but still you do not have because you do not ask. Oh, well, I got to ask God. Okay, I'll ask God. Then you ask and you do not receive because you ask with evil motives, the sin within, that you may consume it on your own lust. You adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever desires to be a friend with the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy? And that's what it is. Now, is not everything concerning the holidays of this world based on that fact? Yes, it is. But he gives greater grace. This is the reason it says, God sets himself against the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit yourselves to God. That's the solution. Resist the devil, because there is a devil out there inspiring these things, as we have covered, who is the prince of the power of the air and has deceived the whole world. And there's like a great net around the world with all the deceptions here. Okay? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, how do you resist the devil? When you get a thought in your mind that you know is not right, you rebuke it. And you can pray right there, oh God, rebuke this thought. Help me to get this out of my mind. Now, there are some things that are hard to do, especially when it comes around Christmas time. And you get into all the stores, what's playing? All the Christmas carols. And every year, there's probably one you have to fight off. Well, the one I have to fight off this year is, this is the most wonderful time of the year. Until the credit card bills come in. Okay? Whatever it may be. All right. Now, here's how God wants us to do it. Okay? Verse 8. Draw near to God. You come to him. How do you do that? In thought, in mind, in prayer, and getting on your knees and saying, help me, God. Okay? And he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Okay? Now let's see how we are to come to God. Let's come to Isaiah 55. Let's see the process that God has given to us. And this is continuous in our lives, see. Because once we have repented and been baptized and received the Holy Spirit of God, now we are ready to start. Yes, it is an end. and end of living your life in the world the way that you have lived it, but it is the beginning of living your life God's way. And here's what God says. All right. Isaiah 55. And you got there before me because I turned to Psalm 55. Isaiah 55. All right. Verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. A lot of people wait until it's too late. Okay. Call upon him while he is near. Just like it says, seek the Lord, draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. How will he do that? He will do that through his Spirit to help you with your thoughts, to watch over you with his angels. A lot of things go on that are happening to us that we don't know anything about because it's a spiritual activity that is going on. So here's what we are to do. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. There has to be a change of thoughts and there has to be a change of heart. How does that take place? Well, we'll see in just a little bit. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy upon him. Remember mercy and truth. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now we're dealing in a generation that those who are coming into the church now, many of them have gone through a lot of difficult times because the way the society is. And they need to understand, yes, there is forgiveness. And yes, there is mercy. And yes, those sins are going to be removed from you as far as the east is from the west. Now, that's to give you a clean slate to start going God's way. See? Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways. So how are you going to get in line with the thoughts of God? Right here, the Bible. Study. Nor my way, nor your ways, my way, says the Lord. Okay? Now here's the great thing about it. God is going to bring his thoughts to you. Think about that. But notice what he says. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So God is going to do something with you. Yes, he is. He is going to lead you with his Spirit. Once you repent and are baptized, God then is able to take the things here. Now, let's understand something concerning the Word of God. Let's come to John, the 6th chapter, so we can see how this will work in our lives. And what a marvelous thing it is, and it's something the world cannot see. It's something the world does not know. Now, people may be able to see the change outwardly within you, but the real change has to be the change inwardly. Because anybody can put on a facade for a while. Even the meanest, most nasty people can be good for a while. But that doesn't give a spiritual change. Here's why you need the thoughts and words of God. All right, let's pick it up here. Verse 63, John 6, verse 63. Okay? John 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that gives life. You want to be redeemed from death, right? You want your life to go well, correct? The flesh profits nothing. The flesh. Stop and think about it. God gave this fantastic body that we have with everything connected with it, male and female, for the very purpose of perfecting the mind and the spirit of man connected with the Spirit of God. Everything we do physically is just to sustain the life so that we can have the opportunity to grow in grace and knowledge and understanding and be changed from an enemy of God to a friend of God to a hater of God, to a lover of God. Now, continuing. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, now notice, they are spirit and they are life. Now, because of this, the Word of God is able to do things with God's Spirit in your mind that no other book, no other writing, no other philosophy, and it's amazing what God can do. Okay? They are spirit and life, see? Because what we're dealing with is a spiritual change to overcome a spiritual problem. Now let's see how God does it. Now let's come to Romans, the 10th chapter. Let's see what God does. Now this is fantastic, brother. I want you to understand how great this is. The world cannot see this going on. But over time, you can experience and know that it is going on. Okay? Now, let's pick it up here in verse 15, Hebrews 10. The Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. And that's what God gives us, the Holy Spirit. For after he previously said, Hebrews 10, verse 15, now verse 16, Hebrews 10, verse 16. Now here's the covenant of baptism. Here is what God is going to do. Here is how God is going to change your thought. So whenever there's sin within that comes up, you need to replace it with what is good. That's why God brings it out, so you can repent of it and get it out of your mind, as we covered, through the washing of the water of the Word. Okay? Because after you're baptized, you go along and you think all of a sudden, well, how come I have these thoughts? You know, the wicked thoughts still there? It's God's Spirit exposing it, because it's a process. Okay? And here's how it works. This is the covenant that I will establish with them after those days, says the Lord. I will give my laws into their hearts, and I will inscribe them in their minds. Where did we begin? Jeremiah 17:1. Inscribed with a pen of diamond, the sin. Now he's going to replace that with what? His laws into their hearts. I will inscribe them into their minds. Now that's interesting, because the mind is the most, what do they call it? The plasticity of the mind, because it is so fantastic. The mind, the thoughts of the mind make impressions on the mind through the connections and synapses and all, and you have trillions of cells there going all the time. Okay? You can learn, you can unlearn. You can remember, you can forget. You can change your thought, you can change your mind, and God's Spirit helps you with all of it. See? Now, granted, we've got a lot of things out there, as we discussed before. You've got all the media, you've got all the television, you've got the whole society, and everything out there crushing in on you in this generation that no other generation has had in past time. I mean, you go back 200 years, live on a nice farm, take care of the animals, you know, feed the cows, milk the cows, take care of the goats, go out and cut down the trees for the wood, and, you know, comes time, cut the hay, you shock it, you do all of this, you put it in the barn, you gather the eggs out of the hen house, you know, you breed the cows, breed the goats, the chickens breed themselves, and all that sort of thing, see. And all of this, you're not bombarded with evil, you're not bombarded with television, you're not hit every 15 minutes with 5 ads, you know, by this, by that, by the other thing. See? No stress driving on a freeway. No police officer to give you a ticket. See? So we've got a lot of things to work on that other generations could not even conceive. Plus, if we watch the news, we hear every evil that's in the world, don't we? 200 years ago, beyond your nice farm out there, you know, nice meadow, nice hills in the back, you need some extra meat? Oh, well, go kill a deer, you know, whatever it may be. Today, come home from work, family's all upset, the kids are fighting, their cell phones don't work, the computer's not working, mom's in a frenzy trying to fix dinner, the kids are fighting. You just come home from driving in a traffic jam with traffic, and you finally get home, you open the door and say, "Whew, I am here." Bang. Okay. Now you sit down to the news and you're finding out that Obama is going to tax you another 20%. Okay. Now, that means we've got a lot more things to contend with than they did 200 years ago. But we also have the Bible and the Word of God. So what God does, He writes His laws into our hearts and into our minds so we can change our thinking. But that does not get into our hearts and into our minds without study. Let's go ahead and take a break. We'll come back.